streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The Favorites Podcast is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. I bet with FanDuel because they're safe and secure. They offer great odds and markets across the NBA, NHL, and more. And because it's fun to combine multiple bets into same game parlays. So if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code FAVORITES so they know I sent you.
You must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Louisiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, and Virginia, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789, or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
Welcome to The Favorites, the podcast from the Volume Podcast Network. I am Chad Millman, Chief Content Officer of the Action Network. It has been a remarkable 48, 72 hours. if you're talking about NFL quarterback musical chairs. Free agency is coming. Draft is coming. Super Bowl futures are shifting. Here to break everything down. Everything we need to know about how to make decisions right now in what is the most fun offseason for any league that there is, in the best betting league in the world. Getting ahead of it now is all that matters. Professional better, my BFF, my companion, my compadre, Simon Hunter. Hold on, Simon. Plus, my own personal nemesis from our show, Convince Me, every Sunday during the NFL season, Action Network senior writer. I hate saying it because he's probably one of our best analysts of anything, whether it's NFL, NBA, thinking logically, analyzing players, breaking things down, contextualizing, even though I kind of can't stand him personally, Mr. Chris Raybon.
Oh, glad to be here, guys.
I mean, that's an introduction.
It was. I mean, you essentially were like, I'm good at everything except asking for a great job title.
It's true. Maybe we should work on that.
We should, man.
Simon and I just had his review yesterday. He didn't ask me for a new job title.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't really mean much, I guess, like at the end of the day. But it's, and now, like, when you just intro'd me and you like stumbled through that, even though it was a great intro, now I feel like we have to revisit. So I'll put that on the list. You know,
call me after. You're a great negotiator. We can negotiate after the show.
Oh, man.
Simon, dude, you come back from vacation, and as soon as you get back, the NFL markets go crazy with quarterbacks making decisions, GMs making decisions. It's getting nutty out there.
I know. It's a weird time, too, where it's like I got to be doing my job and do football stuff, but I'm trying to watch some college basketball just to get ready for March Madness. So it's like, I don't know. Not the best time of year, but it's definitely most exciting. I mean, first, Shep, before we even get to free agency, the fans know this is an Atlanta Falcons podcast. I got to hear about what happened. What was your day like when you heard about Calvin Ridley? Because Chad Millman, New York Times bestseller, the head of Action Network content, were you just like, holy shit? Because, again, this is before we knew it was 1,500. When I first saw that report, my mind went to the dark place. I was like, oh, my God, I've seen Calvin Ridley fix games. He doesn't fix games. He's just some idiot that saw a promo from Caesars to get 1,500 embedded. So I would love to hear what you were thinking when this all broke.
Yeah, this is crazy, right? So everybody I'm sure knows, but it came out, it was reported earlier this week. This is Thursday, reported earlier this week that Calvin Ridley in November of 21 bet on NFL games. That was the initial report, and that he had been suspended for a year. And then the news came out. He had bet bet some parlays when he had taken a voluntary leave from the Falcons. He had done it through the Hard Rock in like the 1 month that you could bet online in the state of Florida. He did it. He used his phone and the integrity programs. I don't say this to be like a stooge for the league and sort of the integrity programs through Genius Sports, but look, they have instituted these things because betting is legal, because the leagues are taking money from the operators, because they are in bed with everybody who's doing anything related to betting, and they need to be as above board as possible. They have talked about integrity from the get-go. So Calvin Ridley used his phone and bet this parlay, and it immediately got flagged by Genius and immediately got sent to the NFL, was investigated. Now the guy is suspended for a year. Totally crazy that it happened, considering how much time is spent on educating players, officials, executives, members of every league office about how you're not allowed to bet on sports if you are involved in these games.
No, just NFL though. Like, he could have bet college and he would have got his $11 million this coming season. It was just because, again, because he bet NFL. They don't care about other sports, apparently. That's all they care about.
I don't know. Like, it's to me, they're all murky. Like, all the rules are murky. And, you know, I was on a panel in Boston on Friday at the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference. And one of the panelists is from the NFL league office. And we talked about betting. And she was clear, I can't bet on sports, right? That's what she said. And so every league is different. And I've got folks at the NBA who I know, they don't bet on
They can't bet on sports, right? So it's all interesting and murky. That was a crazy day. And I feel like the story would have had more legs, and there may be more to come out. Who knows? But the story would have had more legs if the next day wasn't Aaron Rodgers and the next day wasn't Russell Wilson.
Right.
And the next day, as crazy as it seems, wasn't Carson Wentz. But look, this is going to be a thing. This is going to be a thing when betting is legal in every state. And you've got athletes with disposable income who think they can. It's not even about thinking they can find an edge. It's just what people between like 21 and 51 or God knows how old are doing now. And so it's introduced to more people. It's one of the risks. And look, we're in the business. I'm obviously an advocate for the business. I want there to be a lot of sports betting. I want it to be as accessible to as many people as possible. This is one of the things that people are going to have to look out for.
I'm just scared of if it's ever a quarterback, a referee, a coach. Those are the big ones where when it was Ridley, I honestly wasn't that. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a story. Like you said, I was kind of blown over because, again, I think we all sit back here and we all laughed about it because it's like this dude was betting 18 parlays, 5-team parlays. Like the day we catch a referee or Aaron Rodgers or someone betting 50K on the other side of whatever game they're in through a proxy or whatever, if that ever gets blown up, like that's the story of theirs.
I just think there could be more to the story because where there's smoke, there's fire. And let's be honest, his mental break, whatever you want to call it, voluntary leave, was pretty out of left field and super suspicious to begin with and just kind of mysterious. And so a lot of times when you get these big things that come out later, like you go back and there ended up like was something going on even before this, because the leave in itself was odd, you know, kind of like, you know, what happened with Gruden, where we heard this like one quote about that happened with Gruden. It was like, oh, well, that's kind of messed up. But like, OK, like he can come back from this. And then all of a sudden, like it comes out after that like all this other shit went down.
We're pulling back the curtain a little bit. You're saying what every reporter, editor, producer is saying at every sports media entity right now. Certainly what we all said at Action on Monday afternoon. You got to frame it like responsibly, right? Because I think everybody in media right now has some kind of investigative reporter trying to unpack more about the Calvin Ridley story. And Action's no different, right? We're reporting around it. We're trying to see, like we're calling our sources and trying to see, I'm not giving away a secret here, like his voluntary leave and taking a mental health break and the betting, are they completely disconnected and there's nothing there? Or is there something directly related? We don't know. Nobody knows. It's irresponsible to say that there is a connection. But everyone will look at that and say, okay, is that something to pull back? Is that something to dig into? No doubt everybody is trying to figure that out.
Obviously, you know, it could be the opposite way around. It could be, did something happen that just made him not want to play football anymore? You know, whatever he was going through mentally, could he have just kind of said, fuck it. If I get caught, I get caught. Who, you know, because like even when if the news first broke, like, he didn't really seem to care too much. He was like, just so y'all know, I don't have a gambling problem. I just got a year, LOL. Like, he didn't seem too broken up about it either. So, I mean, we would love to hear from him. But, you know, what we're getting from him, just it only lends fuel to the fire that he's not thinking about football the same way he was a couple years ago.
I think that's fair. That's a better way to frame it. There was a tweet that I saw somebody sent out. The NFL's team in Miami plays in a stadium sponsored by Hard Rock Casino. They take tens of millions of dollars from gambling companies. They have an investment in a company that is one of the leading data providers to gambling companies around the world. And one of the players bets $1,500 on a parlay and gets suspended for a year. And so there's a lot of mixed messaging going on. NFL players should not be betting on NFL games. I think we can all agree on that. But it speaks to how challenging an issue this is going to be. And look, it speaks to the way in which the view of betting has changed even in the past 18 months. 6 months ago, DraftKings as a business was valued at $26 billion. Today, it's valued at 7. The market, the frothiness of the market is changing dramatically every single day. But the way that investors are looking at sports betting generally is changing every day. And so it's not just going to be, okay, here's a $1 billion opportunity for everybody to cash in on. It's more like, okay, what does this business really mean? What is it? How are we capitalizing on it? How are we protecting the players from it? How are people engaging with it? We're entering that, everyone always likes to say we're in the first inning of sports betting. I feel like we're probably entering the second and third inning, and the middle innings are always the hardest.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to it, because people do want to know. Here's the irony. People do want to know, what the fuck do I bet right now? What do I do with all the information that's happening? Forget about all the controversy. Aaron Rodgers is staying with the Packers. Russell Wilson going to the Broncos. Carson Wentz getting traded to Washington. Let's start with Carson Wentz. That was an interesting move. At most books, Washington Commanders were 60-1 before the trade. They were 60-1 after the trade. One book moved it down to 75-1. We all laughed about it. Raybon, you actually had really good thoughts on why that might be the case.
You know, and it was WinBet, I believe, that moved the odds down. But I don't believe it was, you know, they were trolling or anything. I just think when you're making these odds, you're factoring in, okay, they have cap space, they have assets. What can they do with this? You know, what quarterbacks are on the market? Who can they potentially acquire? We knew they were in the market for a quarterback. So I just think, you know, Carson Wentz versus, you know, maybe a Deshaun Watson, maybe having those draft picks, Jimmy Garoppolo, who was rumored to them, Russell Wilson at a time was a potential option even. So I just think, you know, they're factoring all those things in. And now that we know it's Carson Wentz and we know that they're paying him all this money and we know that they gave up, you know, some picks for him. Now it's like, okay, well, now they're not as good a position as they could have been potentially if things had broken a little bit differently.
Raybon just recorded a two-part NFL free agency pod on the Action Network channel, Action Network podcast, that is all about your betting guide to NFL free agency, in which you went through every single team discussing cap space, potential free agents. So you have never been more prepped to come on this pod and hand it to Simon Hunter.
Not a competition, Chad. We're just trying to give the people out here what they want.
Everything's a competition.
Oh, okay. Simon, I'm coming to get you, man. No,
well, look, like, but here's the point. Simon, do you want to weigh in on Carson Wentz and Washington Commanders?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much right there with Chris. I look at it, though, it's great for Carson. It's his last opportunity. This is it. So, yeah, I might think it's a dumb move and they're paying him a lot, way too much money. But at the same time, who the hell have Washington has their quarterback in the last 20 years? Nobody. So if Carson come in, they can spark something there. He's playing his former team twice a year back in his old division. I like the move for a 1 year, you know, burner quarterback, because it's just an awful organization. We've talked all the time. Their ownership's trash. Their fan base is giving up on the ownership. They have one of the worst stadiums in all of football. As an Eagles fan, we go there and we take over it whenever we play them. So it's rough times right now for Washington, but as much as I want to laugh and make fun of this move, I don't hate it. I mean, it's just like they're getting a guy who has tremendous upside. We've all seen these moments of brilliance, but he just mentally isn't there. So maybe they think they can change that. But to me, I just think it's a waste of a year as an organization, because there's just nothing there for me.
I think it's tough. It's also going, because this is a great fan base. Like, it's a great fan base. I know they deserve better, but it's also a tough place to go. I mean, you know, the fans are going to be on you out here in Washington. I just don't think Carson's built for it. I mean, I watched the Hard Knocks with the Colts. I got to see him up close, and, you know, they've been showing us every quarterback every year that's on that Hard Knocks. And you kind of get to see, you know, the level of leadership that's there. And Carson, to me, just didn't feel like a quarterback, right? Like, they're highlighting him and they're following him home and they're showing him practice and showing him at meetings. He just seemed like another lineman or something. Like, you know, like, he just didn't have the personality of a leader. And there's actually an article that came out from Zach Kiefer at The Athletic that essentially said that since he walked in that door at Indianapolis, they essentially, people within the organization knew it wasn't going to work out, and it came down to his leadership skills. And so, I mean, he's a marginal upgrade on what they had last year. I think he can throw the deep ball better than what they had, and that'll help Terry McLaurin. But ultimately, I just don't think it moves the needle. And I think, you know, having to play Philly twice a year, that's going to be tough. I just don't think he's built for it, unfortunately.
I want you guys both to dig in on like where you're finding the best value now. Like Simon, you and I talked about this about a month ago. And at the time you were all over the Falcons, you were all over the Ravens. And like, I want to get an update now that we've seen some real things start to change. But before we do that, let's examine, in addition to Washington and Wentz, let's talk about Rodgers. Let's talk about him saying he's going back to Green Bay. Let's talk about what that gives them for cap space and how does that position them in an NFC where quarterbacking is kind of at a premium right now. Simon, you go first. Right now, by the way, the Packers are 7.5 to 1 to win the Super Bowl on FanDuel. That is the second shortest odds after the Buffalo Bills at 7 to 1.
Yeah, so people that listen to the show, they know I don't ever bet a future under 20 to 1, especially this time of year. It's just, I'd rather invest my money and do other stuff with it than let a sports book hold it for 9 months. So my advice to people is, unless it's over 20 to 1, I just wouldn't make the bet. Green Bay, that's an awful bet. I mean, excuse me. People last year gave a shit at this time of year because I said it was the stupidest bet you'd ever make, betting on the Chiefs and Tampa Bay. Am I a genius? No, it's just like you're buying on an inflated line. You're literally buying, like we talk all about time about stock market. You're buying at the peak and you're waiting to cash in a long time where you wouldn't invest in the long shots that maybe you can hedge out of, do whatever later on. And when I just look at that Green Bay line, it's just no value. Like 7 to 1. Yeah, there might be three good quarterbacks in NFC, so maybe that's why it's so low. But man, every year Rodgers chokes in at home, either on the road, at home, whatever game it is in the playoffs. We've just seen it time and time again that he just chokes. So to me, I just would not put the investment. If you want to bet him, just bet him straight when you get to those games. But I would not let a sports book hold my money for over a year on an investment of Aaron Rodgers, who we've just seen it time and time again. He just does not do it in the playoffs.
Ray-Ban, I got to think you agree there.
Absolutely. I mean, this team is perennially overvalued in terms of their Super Bowl odds. And I think Simon brings up a good point. So like I think it's partly our fault too, because we kind of feed into it, but like, there's other odds you can bet besides just Super Bowl odds too. Like, right. Like if you want a better edge, like there are edges to be had this time of year, but you know, depending on cap space and things like that, obviously you're still going to run into the same issue. You know, your bet's not going to cash for a long time, but like, you know, books have conference winner odds posted. They have division winner odds posted. Like there are other edges besides taking a 1 in 32, you know, a thing that's going to happen to one team out of the 32. You know, that you could still have some pretty good odds on. But yeah, the Packers are way overvalued because this, you know, whatever the Rodgers deal is going to be, you know, they're going to have the least cap space in the league and by a significant margin now. So they're going to have to make some moves and shift some things around and restructure guys. But you might see some cap casualties there as well. I mean, both of the Smiths, they could save over $12 million. Releasing both Preston and Zadarius each. So, I mean, that's, you know, is that on the table? Who knows? But there's a good chance this team might not even be as good as it was last year. Remember, they got the one seed last year. You know, the guys like Rasul Douglas, who, you know, are they going to be able to bring him back? Probably not. You know, guys like that, they were able to kind of get lucky and kind of go on a run there. And they, you know, they hold their defense steps up and holds the 49ers to 6 points in a playoff game, and they lose because they give it up on special teams. So, I don't think they're going to be better this year than last. Now, Tom Brady's not in the conference anymore, so that helps. But I mean, my goodness, is, you know, if you're betting Packers Super Bowl futures, that's a terrible bet. Just wait till the Packers play their home games and bet on them to cover the spread. They're like one of the only favorites that covers at home consistently. So just do it like that with Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's no reason to bet them to win the Super Bowl right now.
By the way, we think Tom Brady is going to be playing
right, yeah,
in the conference in 2022. We don't know that yet. We don't know that yet, which could give you reason that you might want to get the San Francisco 49ers at 13 to 1. But let's talk about Russell Wilson. The team right ahead of the San Francisco 49ers at 13 to 1 are the Denver Broncos at 12 to 1. They shot up as well. That was a team that a lot of people might have backed into buying them because they thought that's where Aaron Rodgers was going to go, trying to handicap the moves. They end up getting Russell Wilson. I don't hate, I know you don't like to do anything under 20-1, but like the Broncos at 12-1, it's not terrible.
Yeah. And again, I would just pass on it. Cause like you just said, I just don't like investing in things like where you think that's good value right now. Just wait until the playoffs where they might be a 5 or 6 seed. Like the 49ers were last year. We got them at 20-1 heading into the playoffs, where at this time last year, the 49ers were 12-1. And I just, that's my whole point. It's like, you can invest your money now in something else, come back later and take that money and then put on one of these futures. So I'm looking at Denver as, I feel like Chris will be the same page here with me. It's like, I'm going to use their value being the shiny new toy and maybe get better odds on the Chargers or the Chiefs. Yes. And the Chargers, that's probably where I'm going to go with my money, because I do think Brandon Staley is going to learn from his mistakes last year of you do. I love the aggressiveness, but there are times you just take the 3. It's like, mathematically, if it's 2 seconds left before half ends, you take the 3 there. It's not field position game there. It doesn't matter if you get the 7 or the 3. So I'm one of those where I'm going to bank on the Chargers being better this year. They have more cap space. They'll improve. While everyone's talking about Denver, everyone's going to be talking about the Chiefs. You can find value probably on the Chargers. So that's where I'm going to put my money when I'm looking at this Denver thing.
Raybon, you got so excited when he said that.
Yeah, that's what kind of stood out to me. And we talked about this yesterday as well. You know, the Chargers now are the third in third place in terms of the odds to win the division. They're 4-1 to win the division. They are 25-1 to win the Super Bowl. And I just think those odds, like that's one of those 20-1 odds that you say, okay, this could work, because guess what? You have a quarterback. You have a quarter, and not just a quarterback. You have a quarterback on his rookie contract. When did that work out in the past? Oh, right. It worked out last year with the Bengals, at least getting there. And that's also why I say you don't only have to do Super Bowl futures. You know, you could do a conference future. The Chargers are 14-1. That's pretty good odds, even for, you know, to win the AFC. And not only that, but the Chargers are top 5 in cap space. And they play in Los Angeles. So they're going to be an attractive destination for a variety of reasons. And a lot of people thought even last year that this team had enough to make a deep run. So it's like now you got over $40 million in cap space. You got a quarterback on his rookie deal. Yes, it's an extremely competitive division, but there's no reason that the Chargers can't be that team that, you know, wins just as many games as the Chiefs and Broncos and kind of, they sneaks into the playoffs or whatever not. So I just think that the Chargers are a great way to kind of take advantage of Russell Wilson going to the Broncos, because obviously, you know, that's the market is all over that. Their odds are skyrocketing. I think they're in a great spot. I mean, I think they were a quarterback away, and they're going to be right there this year. But the Chargers are really, from a betting perspective, that's how you bet at this time of year. That's the value. That's where you got to go.
You've said this a couple of times. I want you to explain it to people. A QB on a rookie deal. Yeah. What's the significance of that?
I mean, Kirk Cousins right now, for example, I'll just put it this way. Kirk Cousins is going to take up 22% of the Vikings salary cap this year. Carson Wentz is going to get like something like $28 million this year. Like quarterbacks, even average quarterbacks, are just drastically overpaid. Because they're still, maybe it's not overpaid, but they just cost so much money. So having a rookie quarterback that is good, he's got to be good, obviously. Herbert is, Burrow is, on his rookie deal, there's just kind of a cap in place to where, you can only get so much money. And so you're just getting ridiculous value. Even look at a team like the Seahawks. How did we get here? How do we get to the point where they're blowing everything up and moving on from Russell Wilson? Well, their height of the Seahawks, everyone talks about the Legion of Boom. Well, yeah, it was the Legion of Boom and the fact that they had Russell Wilson playing on a rookie deal, right? And then once they had to pay Russ, then everything around him went downhill, and eventually he just couldn't, carry that burden anymore, and it just didn't work. And that's kind of why that rookie window is so important. So love the Chargers because of that. And then because of the fact that the Broncos now are kind of pushing the Chargers odds down a little bit, I get it. It's all correlated, so it makes sense, but that's where the value is. Oh, and by the way, talk about 20-1 or better. Cincinnati Bengals, 22-1 to win the Super Bowl this season. And the Cincinnati Bengals, because they have Burrow on that rookie deal, they have the seventh most cap space heading into free agency. So, like, no one's talking about that. Like, the Bengals got to the Super Bowl, probably should have won it, and they have the seventh most cap space. So, yeah, Bengals and Chargers, like, those are two teams. That's it for me. Like, those are teams that I think that if you're making a bet in March in the NFL, because you just got to get something down here, that's where you got to go.
Simon, I know you feel differently about the Bengals.
Me and Chris, we were doing so well this whole show. I hate the Bengals next year. I'm going to be fading them all season. We're literally going from an injured Browns team to a healthy Browns team, an injured Ravens team to a healthier Ravens team. Yeah, maybe they'll get another walkthrough with Pittsburgh like they dominated him this past year, but I just can't do it. I'm looking at a Bengals team that his first season, he tore his knee up. His second season, he partially tore his knee up. Historically cheap owner who does not spend the money. So we could be sitting here and they may only spend $20 million of that cap they have because they notoriously have a cheap owner. The Bengals reek of a fluke where it's like Joe Burrow, that was legendary. He's incredible. All their playoff wins, the Raiders, that was pretty fluky. They almost lost to Derek Carr on that fourth down. Tennessee Titans, they should have lost that game 1,000 times older. Same with the Chiefs. The Rams won again. I'm with you on that. I thought the Rams were choking in that. If Burrow hadn't partially torn his MCL, they would have won that game going away. They literally were dominating that Rams defense. And as soon as he got hurt, he kind of couldn't move in the pocket, and that's how they lost the Rams game. But I'm so off the Bengals. And I hear what you're saying, though, like the rookie deal. I look at it, they had the opportunity this past year, and now they'll just fade away into distant memory. Like Joe's always going to be good, but they just can't go on that run again.
I feel like you're still salty from losing all those Bengals bets in the playoffs, man. I think you're betting with your heart here. Cause like you got to look at it objectively.
In the Super Bowl.
But like, seriously, I just think you got to look at it objectively though. It's like, yeah, most of the time you take a team coming off a Super Bowl win or loss, and they're going to be overvalued the next year. But now you're taking a team that has a quarterback on his rookie deal that made the Super Bowl, and that is 22-1 with, you know, the top eight cap space. Like, that's just a good situation to invest in, like, in my opinion. Like, that doesn't come along most years. Like, and they don't have to spend all their cap space realistically. You know, you could, especially the way things are with offensive linemen. And, you know, we just saw a couple of decent offensive linemen be released, heading into free agency. I mean, you can get a couple of guards, you know, for cheap on, you know, 1-2 year deal. Like, their window is now. They don't have to sign these like massive offensive line contracts. They don't even need like a Teron Armstead, to be honest. Like, you know, they just got to sign, you know, maybe a couple interior linemen in a right tackle. And I mean, that's going to be such a massive upgrade to what they had last year. I just think it's a smart play because, again, I mean, it satisfies your criteria. It's greater than 20-1. Quarterback on rookie deal, like, that's just, I mean, like, they're right there with the chart. Like, I don't see much difference between them and the Chargers. I think both of them are in that same boat. They're similar quality teams. Yes, the Chiefs are better. Yes, the Bills are better, but they're in the running.
The books are telling you something, though. That's what I love about sports books. They give you a little secrets, and they're the third highest bet team across the board for Super Bowl futures, and their odds have dropped. So there's obviously, when they're, like you just said, there's smoke, there's fire. There's someone knows something, because it's interesting. Their odds have dropped, even though people have been betting them heavily ever since the end of the Super Bowl.
Hey, I mean, books are only so sharp. I mean, Chad just told you DraftKings stock, like, is just, you know, plummeted over the past year. Not, you know, nothing against them, you know, but, you know, it's just, you know, like, listen, man, I tracked all the sharp action and all this stuff. Like, sharps are overrated. Books are overrated. At the end of the day, you just got to make, you know, smart bets where you see value. Like, and I just think there's nothing that different between the Bengals and the Chargers, given the quarterback situation, given the cap situation, and given the roster situation. I just think they're quality teams with quarterbacks on rookie deals who have, you know, long odds that you could, like you said, you could, like, at worst case scenario, right? Like, they probably get into the playoffs, and like you said, you could hedge it out. So I just think it's good value.
College basketball championship season is here, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel Sportsbook. New customers can place their first college basketball bet risk-free up to $1,000. Bet college basketball any way you like. Tonight, I like Seton Hall catching points in Madison Square Garden. And with FanDuel, I can jump into the action with live betting. And when I win, FanDuel pays me my winnings in as little as 2 hours. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and sign up with promo code FAVORITES to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. That's promo code FAVORITES. Make the college basketball championships mean more.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net, with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
On FanDuel Sportsbook. You must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text Next step to 53342 in Arizona, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, and Virginia, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789, or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You know, there's a couple other teams that fit the criteria you guys are talking about. Teams with starting quarterbacks who have shown greatness or potential for greatness, or have had some kind of success, who are on rookie deals. And what's remarkable is none of these teams are amongst the top teams with the shortest odds. Bills, not a, you know,
well, Josh Allen, space, not on a rookie deal. Their cap space is, yeah, and their cap space is not.
Cap space is wrecked.
Not the same.
Packers, yeah. Not on a rookie deal, bad cap space. Chiefs, not on a rookie deal. Rams, not on a rookie deal. They're always trying to maneuver for cap space because they're just trading away picks to get star players. Broncos, now with Russell Wilson. Niners, Cowboys. Then come Niners. The Ravens.
Niners are interesting. I just wait, before you go on, just... Yep. The Niners right now are over the cap, but if they trade Jimmy Garoppolo, that clears up about 26 million cap space. That puts them above average in the top half of the league in terms of cap space. And they would have a quarterback on their rookie deal. And pretty much every quarterback they've put out there has like performed average or above average. Like even Beathard and Mullins had like, I saw a tweet that like leaders in, I think it was yards per attempt since 2018. And like Beathard and Mullins were in the top half of the league, along with Jimmy G, who was number two. So like the Niners would quickly kind of ascend into that same conversation. It's just that Trey Lance still has a lot to prove, I think, is more the issue there. It's like, whereas Herbert and Burrow have kind of proven themselves to a degree already, Lance hasn't, but they would kind of be that other team that's there. But their odds also reflect that.
Yeah. I also, to me, I'm sort of slimming down the categorization to quarterbacks on the rookie contract who have actually succeeded at some level. Right. And so in the NFL, Trey Lance hasn't done that yet. So to me, the Niners are not sort of befitting of your money because he hasn't done anything and their odds are too short. And they're over
the Tom
cap
Brady, though. That's the Tom Brady effect. Like people like me, I put a dime on them just in case Tom goes there. Like I know it's a long shot, but I mean, holy hell, dude. If they got Tom Brady with that defense, that offense, woo, that'd be crazy.
Can I get to my point, please? My point is this. The Ravens, 20-1. The Patriots, Mac Jones, Belichick being active in free agency. The Eagles, 40-1. And I'm going to put it out there. Okay. Chicago Bears, 80-1. Justin Fields. Not crazy. It's not crazy. But let's talk about specifically the Pats and the Ravens, because I think those are more realistic given the parameters that we're talking about. Lamar Jackson in the last year of his rookie deal. Simon, you go first on the Ravens.
Yeah, that's my shortest future odds I did. I just did the Ravens on the simple fact that they were so many injuries last year. We know they'll come back. They'll be better. They're playing against an easy schedule just because they came in last place or second to last in that division. It's like we talk every year. That's a big deal. Like who you're playing week to week. If you come in first, all of a sudden, again, you come in first place like the Bengals did. That's a first place schedule. That's tough to get the same type of seeding or the same type of wins to get that seeding. So I'm just purely value play off the Ravens. It's like I'm with people. I don't know how I feel about Lamar. I don't know how I'd feel if I was a Ravens fan about paying Lamar. But to me, this is a guy who was an MVP at one point. We know his athletic talent. We know how good he is on the football field. If he's healthy, they're a completely different team. And no team had fewer losses by like a smaller margin last season than the Ravens. Like they're one of those teams that you literally flip a coin last year and they could have been the one seed if they had just flipped a lot of those one score games. So I definitely like the Ravens as a bounce back candidate this year. Patriots, no real read on them, honestly. I like what Mac did last year. We saw him hit that rookie wall. He kind of fell apart later in the season. And then they went up to Buffalo and Josh Allen played a perfect game. So it's like Patriots, they're not as bad as they looked in that playoff games, but are they as good as they looked throughout the season last year? I don't really know what to do with them yet. Cause again, it's the Belichick effect. It's like, I want to fade them, but it's Belichick. I'm terrified of fading the greatest coach in football. So I'm probably not going to touch their odds, but I definitely will be one of those people backing the Ravens for a lot of next season.
Raybon.
Yeah. I like the Ravens more than the Patriots. I just think the Patriots have a high floor, you know, Belichick's never going to let them go like completely in the tank. And I think Mac Jones is kind of the same way. He's a higher floor quarterback, but at least I didn't see anything to suggest he's got that Burrow ceiling. He's got that. And part of it is, I mean, you know, the receiving core drastically different, but I just don't see Mac Jones throwing for like, you know, 400 something yards and completely changing a game the way a guy like Burrow can or Justin Herbert can. So, you know, the Ravens, the Ravens just have all these intangibles. I mean, Harbaugh has done a great job. They're going to, like, as Simon says, they're going to get healthier on defense. So of those two teams, definitely the Ravens for me, I think they're another one. But, you know, even saying that, just to go, not to beat a dead horse, but it's like both the Ravens and the Bengals have equal Super Bowl odds. And, you know, forget what you think about the rosters and all that and what happened last year. But just going completely on cap spaces, which is what we're kind of looking at heading into free agency, you know, saying a lot of these teams are kind of clustered together behind the Chiefs and the Bills. The Bengals have about $35 million in cap space. The Chargers have $42 million. The Ravens have about 16 and the Patriots have about 13. So you just see the drastic differences. You know, and yet these teams are kind of clustered together. But you just see the upside for the teams like the Bengals and Chargers, whereas like they're in this window now and they could get better now, you know, to a greater degree than I think the Ravens and the Patriots can just because of that drastic difference. So I just wanted to put that into some context.
How much do you, Raybon, you guys do these two-part podcasts and you're thinking about cap space and free agency and all this stuff and you're incredibly well-informed today, and so that's impressive. How much are you thinking about draft positioning, holes that can be filled in the draft, and where the opportunities down the futures board, whether it's Super Bowl, as you point out, you don't have to bet Super Bowl, it could be division, could be conference. Are there teams that sort of in that 20-1 range and below that you look at and say, if they get the right draft position, the right player, that's sneaky, and we should go get them now?
No, I don't really, because for two reasons. Number one, the draft is, I mean, obviously, if you just, you know, have like your team is gutted of picks, I think that could be an issue if you're not like in a win now window. But like, look at the Rams, they've been fine. The Broncos, you know, they gave a boatload of picks, but look at their team. Like they should be good. But it kind of goes back to like when you're betting during the season and like somebody gets hurt and it's like, okay, how much is he worth to the spread? Like we know the only players really worth anything of substantial to the spread are quarterbacks. So that kind of feeds into their odds in terms, you're just extrapolating that in terms of their futures odds. And so no one player or even group of players is really going to change things to that degree. I mean, yes, Ja'Marr Chase, for example, for the Bengals was great, but it's still about Joe Burrow. Like, it's still, you know, if you don't have a quarterback, that's where a draft pick could change everything. But even so, like, then you still just have a rookie quarterback. So you're still probably a year away. So it's not like a major thing. It's definitely something you're looking at more so. You know, I think with maybe if you're betting like division, straight up like a division odds, you could kind of compare the four teams and how they all match up in terms of those things. But when you're talking about like Super Bowl futures, I just think there's certain teams that got it and certain teams that are a year away or more. And it's not hard to see the difference.
I'm right there with Chris about that, where it's like, as much as I wish I could predict how these guys will draft and how that's going to affect the outcome, it's like, did we know that Ja'Marr Chase and a kicker were going to take the Bengals from never winning a playoff road game to a Super Bowl? It's like, you just can't see these things coming. It's definitely, you definitely need the quarterback there. So for me, like, Chad, you know, a team I'm heavily invested in a second year quarterback is going to be the Jaguars. I love just really ugly, gross teams that I know they have the quarterback, the potential. They just need the coaching and to make the right moves or free agency in other places. So that's a team where if the Jaguars can nail this draft, if they can get a good offensive lineman or D line with that first pick and then use their other picks to really fill out that roster, that's an exciting turnaround team. Cause it's like the AFC South is kind of terrible. Not that I don't believe in the Titans, but Titans are going to win 3 years in a row, win that division. And the Colts, we don't know who their quarterback is. There's a lot of unknown in that division. So for me, 120-1, 150-1, where you can get them at the Jaguars, that's a fun second year long shot where I could see their odds moving a little bit after the draft if they really do draft the right pieces.
That's disgusting. Yeah. Why would you even say that? That's like saying, yeah, let's definitely bet the Jags plus 17 against the Texans in week 18. Terrible. Which teams are totally fucked right now? Like they cannot get under the cap. They're saddled with a quarterback contract that is going to screw them for the next 12 months, if not beyond. Raybon, who is totally screwed?
I mean, first of all, we have to put this into some context. Like the Packers, for example, have the worst cap space in the NFL right now, but like they have Aaron Rodgers. Every team can do what they need to do. NFL contracts are so dumb. Like you can do what you need to do to kind of get under the cap. But with that being said, I worry about the Saints. I mean, the Saints have the second fewest cap space and there's no quarterback to speak of. Like, you know, are you going to run it back with Taysom Hill? Like, what's going to happen there? Now you have this legal drama that popped up with Alvin Kamara. I mean, the Saints could be like, they could win that division or they could be really bad. So I would worry about them because if they don't have one, like when you look at some of these other teams that are in cap hell, like the Packers, the Rams, the Bucks don't have a lot of cap space. The Chiefs are in the bottom, near the bottom of the league. Like these teams are teams that win. I mean, if you just look at the bottom 10 in cap space this year, right now anyway, and this changes all the time, guys, teams are making moves, but Bills, Cowboys, Niners, Chiefs, Giants, Bucks, Vikings, Rams, Saints, Packers. Almost all of those teams are very good. So the teams that you would say are fucked, Giants, they don't belong in that group. Like, you know, for a team not to have cap space and have a roster that bad, not a good sign. Saints, for a team just lost their great coach and have no quarterback, for them to be that deep in the hole and not have a great roster, that's troubling. And then the Vikings kind of, you look at it and say, yeesh, I mean, Kirk Cousins taking up 22% of that cap. And you know, you don't want to move them or anything because it's still having Kirk Cousins still gives you a better chance than not having Kirk Cousins, unfortunately. So like those teams, and then, you know, the Bucks, I mean, if they can't find a quarterback, I mean, they still have a lot of pieces, but you're not going to win a Super Bowl with Blaine Gabbert. So, that's not a great situation either, but, yeah, the Giants and the Saints really kind of stick out there. They're not in that same group. They should not be this far in the hole. Heading into free agency.
Once the Giants sign, we talked about this last night at the Millman dinner table. Once the Giants sign Mitch Trubisky and he proves that Matt Nagy was a fraud of a coach who coached the Chicago Bears into the bottom of the bucket, and Trubisky gets his shot to become a Hall of Famer because he was not utilized correctly, the Giants, one of the most incredible turnarounds in NFL history.
I don't think you have to be too worried, Chad. His nickname was One Read Mitch for a reason. Like, the kid would make one read. If it wasn't there, he'd pull it down. So maybe he's updated and changed to 1 year in with the Bills, but I don't know, man. There was a reason all these teams didn't make him any offer last year, and he was a backup for the Bills, you know?
It could solve two problems for the Giants, though. Like, if he really just is good under Brian Daboll, and Daboll just somehow unlocks the best of Mitch Trubisky, not only do the Giants have a quarterback, but then they can move Daniel Jones to running back, and they'll finally have a running back because Saquon Barkley is apparently not who he was, a couple of years ago. You know, he just 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So, hey, you never know.
Listen, here we are, just a podcast, just a betting podcast, solving all the problems of the NFL. That's what we do here.
You're not going to ask me who I'm down on, Chad? You're just going to skip over me like I'm a piece of meat?
What do you mean?
You didn't ask me who I'm down on.
All right. Who are you down on?
No. Keep it. End your show. It's your
show. The Bengals. Simon, you're clearly down on the Bengals. You made that very clear.
No, that's just listen, bad.
Don't. You come back from vacation and like you're tan and it's like your whole body is sensitive. Not just like, just tell me who you're down on. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I got caught up in the Mitch Trubisky euphoria and I completely forgot to ask the follow-up. Please.
Great show. I'm gonna go with, great show, by the way. Euphoria. Check it out.
An easy answer, Miami. We talked about it with Stephen Ross. They have so much drama. They're the team that they messed up the tank season. They didn't get Joe Burrow, who's looking like a Hall of Famer 2 years in. They didn't get Herbert because they passed on him for Tua. That's one of those teams, Miami. They could, if they struggle early in the season, they could fall apart quick because you've heard the whispers about them not really committing to Tua, and Brian Flores trying to get Watson in there. And now he's gone. They got the new coach in there who he seems like a cool dude, but he seems like he is stoned 24/7. Every time I hear this dude talk, I'm like, wow, that is the highest coach I've ever heard. So I don't know. Miami is just making me nervous because I love to bet on Miami, but they got drama and they might have whiffed big time on taking Tua over Herbert.
Oh, they did. That's not even a might. That's a, yeah. I think it's already
I can't judge
clear.
Yet, but it's not looking good.
Nah, we could judge. You got, see, this is the, you got, like, listen, Burrow, Herbert, these guys, you know, it doesn't, like, we already see it. Like, it's like the best Tua could hope for is to be like Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. Like, put him on a good situation and he can almost get you there. Like, that's all. And I was high on Tua coming out. You know, I bought into, you know, the leadership qualities and what he did in school. But just watching him in the NFL, it's like we kind of already know. And we should mention the Dolphins have the second most cap space. So I think the real disappointment for me, and this again, you know, let the legal situation settle, but like taking yourself out of the Deshaun Watson running based on football reasons. Like, obviously, you know, some people are going to say they have morals, this and that, but like, if this man is available to play football, he is by far the best quarterback on the market. And I mean, by far. So taking yourself out of that running, and this goes for any team that's doing that. I just think you have to kind of, you know, lower the expectations because he's that one guy that all the stuff we're talking about now, he could change it all if he goes to whatever one of these teams. Like, that's the one guy that could change a franchise that's available or could be available.
All right. Well, then let's end it like this, Simon. Give me the team you would bet on right now, trying to handicap where Deshaun Watson ends up.
Can't do it. I mean, I have no idea because I don't think he's going to get away with it. I think he's going to get this year off. Like, stuff's going to come out in court. The more I read about it, just like this dude had a problem. Like, I don't know if he still has that problem, but clearly something's wrong with this dude in his head. So I just don't see him playing this season. I'm one of those bettors where I'm off of Deshaun Watson. The more I read about it, I just don't think he plays this year.
Raybon, thoughts?
On where he's going to go? Like, what's his most likely?
If you had to handicap, you know, if we're playing quarterback sort of musical chairs here, if you had to handicap based on where everyone else has landed, like you said, the best player on the market, if you're trying to guess and say, take a flyer on a team, is it the Panthers? Like, how are you predicting where he ends up?
I think the Indianapolis Colts. You know why? Two things. Number one, after that Wednesday, they now have the most cap space in the league at an inner free agency. Number two, I always feel like when you have executives that are on a team and they're in a division with another player and they see that guy twice a year and he has some success against them, I feel like they're always, it's kind of like scouts that scout a certain part of the country. So it's like all the guys, they're kind of bringing you back and saying, we need to go get this guy, or, you know, from obviously that region. So I just think Colts in the division now, you know, would the Texans trade in the division? Maybe not, but I could see it happen if they offer the right, you know, the right deal and they have this cap space and the assets to kind of do it. And they're the team that every year quarterback for hire, Indianapolis Colts. So that would be my bet.
Nice of you to take a stand on that. Simon was a bit of a coward, but that's cool.
Damn, shots fired.
All right. This has been the Favorites from the Volume Podcast Network. For my co-host, Simon Hunter, for my nemesis, Chris Raybon, for our producer, Matt Mitchell, I am Chad Millman. Download us from Spotify, from Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe, 5 stars, say whatever you want. Until next time, love you.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dekovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.